everybody, and welcome to another Art House Rewind. I'm Matt.
I'm Brian.
And that's the end of the list this week, because it's just you and me and Brian.
We're the only ones.
The only ones. How are you?
Good.
And we're here to talk a couple things today.
Yes.
All things film, art, and culture, though, as they pertain to Art House Cinema Pub and the Babcock Theater in Billings, Montana. So we got to talk Dune 2 a little bit, don't we? And then we also have a little thing called the Oscars coming up this Sunday. So we're going to talk, we're going to make some predictions about who we think is going to win, just in some of the bigger categories. And then we'll see how we did next Monday. You can tune in if you're somebody that likes to see how wrong we can be. Come on back next week. We'll see how it goes. So, but Brian, let's start off. There was a film event this weekend. It was a big weekend for us on a couple reasons. One, I think we were both really big fans of Dune 1. The first film we had at the Babcock, loved it. I loved it personally. And then we were so excited to play 2, and we decided to bring Dune 2 to here, Art House, because of a lot of different things. And so it was kind of our first time with a big film here at Art House. And
yes.
So it's been a busy weekend for us. Lots of people. Really, really cool. So,
yeah, for sure.
But ultimately, Brian, what did you think of Dune 2?
I loved it.
Perfect.
I really loved it.
Yeah.
It was something when, like, just sitting in the theater, I was like, a couple things going through my mind. I mean, besides just the spectacle of it all, but the idea of like, I can't believe a big studio let them make this.
Yeah.
Because it's the way I've been describing it to friends that hadn't seen Dune 1, and they're like, how good is it really, sort of thing? And the way I described it is, it's an art house blockbuster in the sense that, like, it doesn't do all the hallmarks of like big popcorn movies, in the sense of it doesn't talk down to its audience ever. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you know, Dune is a really, you know, out there sci-fi movie. You know, people have said that it's unadaptable for years. And it's just got some real heady topics that it's trying to cover, and yet it doesn't dumb it down for the audience, I felt like.
Yep.
And then also just the way that Denis Villeneuve goes about directing it, like, it's not like a big laser show, it's not a big, you know, thing. Like, it stays very well grounded, in the sense that this feels like a much smaller budgeted movie than it is, obviously, but it just feels more realistic.
Yeah, it's crazy. To me, it feels like a movie where everything is turned up to 11.
Yeah.
Like, so yes, there's a ton of special effects,
yeah,
but they only do it A, in service of the story, and B, in a way that works and works really, really well. Like, you're looking at things and you know that it's special effects, but it's just like, there's, it almost brings back some of that magic of how did they do that?
Yeah.
Like, it's just because the special effects are not just in a, like, you know, man flying on the screen kind of thing, but
exactly,
the way they go about it, the way they choose to, you know, build this world in a really, really special way. They just turn that up to 11. The soundtrack, turn it up to 11. The cinematography, like, some of the most epic, beautiful, amazing shots that are, you know, in camera. So they're on, you know, in a real location filming some of this stuff, is beautiful and epic and awesome. But also the sci-fi is turned up to 11.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a weird story.
Yeah.
I think the craziest thing for all of this for me is like, there's something about the power of movies here. And maybe this is what people felt like when Star Wars came out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, this is a really nerdy story.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much quote unquote cool factor in here, but it's so flippin' cool.
Yeah.
And it's the ability of this movie to tell this story in a compelling way and use all these different tools and things that even people that don't like sci-fi, like people I know that they have no interest in ever reading Dune. They could care less about who the Bene Gesserit is and all of this stuff. But they're like, that movie is awesome. I love that movie. I'm like, what is happening here? And it's just, again, everything's turned up to 11 and done. So the cast is turned up to 11. Like, there's so many people.
Everyone on screen is like, well known.
Yeah. It's how did they do this?
Yeah
it's so... I'm sorry, I'm stepping all over your comments.
No, it really is just, it's just one of those movies that I just walked out of awestruck of how this exists.
Yep.
And but again, like the way that he went about it, like, this doesn't feel flashier than Denis Villeneuve did with Sicario and Prisoners, like these much smaller budgeted films, but it's the biggest movie of the year so far.
And I think that's what's crazy about it to me is that it is in popular culture hitting that mark. So it's a huge movie on every level, and it's doing really, really well. And so, man, I thought it was incredible. So I loved it. Obviously, I'm hopeful for Dune 3. I think this...
which supposedly covers... because this is part two of book one of Dune. Supposedly the third part would be Dune Messiah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all that he has plans for right now. Yep. Obviously, if he makes lots of money, the studio's going to come to him and say, please do more.
Yep, we'll see. I think, so it's interesting to me because this is, lost my train of thought for a second. You were talking about that. This is great podcasting that's happening here.
Watching the wheels turn.
You're watching the wheels turn. Oh, here's what I was going to say. I think it's fascinating to me. This is one of those things we say, probably every time we show a movie at Art House or the Babcock, and I know I say this every time that I preface what I'm about to say with this, but you've got to see this on the big screen.
Yeah.
Like there is just, it's a crime to your senses to watch this on anything smaller
than at home
a 10-foot screen. Like, and even 10-foot feels small. We have bigger screens here at Art House, but I'm just saying like it needs to be large and it needs to envelop you because it's just the way to see it.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I don't miss it. I mean, even as a film lover, I think, Brian, you would agree, even if you're not coming to Art House and you choose to go see it at IMAX or go see it at another theater, go see this movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I the last thing I'll say is we finished screening it here at Art House, and I looked at you and I said, that is a beeping movie on every level. And it made me... love movies. I wanted to immediately go watch the first one so that I can watch the second one again.
Oh, yeah, I want to watch them back to back again already. So
Done so well on so many levels. So if you haven't seen it yet, come check it out. If you have seen it, man, tell us what you think. Let us know because I would love to talk about this movie. There's so much subtlety in you talk about this unfilmable story. Like this idea, I think a lot of that is not just the sci-fi nature of it, but so much of the book. Have you read the book? I can't remember.
I read about as far as book or the first movie covered. Okay.
But so much of the book, as you know, is in Paul's head. Like you're experiencing that, or the protagonist, whoever it's telling the story at the time, you're in their head. Mm-hmm. And so like there's just this really fascinating, beautiful way of telling this story visually. And it's not like a voiceover, like you're not in Paul's head, but because of the way it's acted, because of the way it's shot, you are in their head. Like you are experiencing these things. And man, it's so well done.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to think of another movie that's coming out this year that I'm A, as excited about, and B, is going to live up to the expectations.
Yeah, I really can't either.
Yeah, which is kind of sad because it's March.
I know, we're so early. I mean, there's no way that this goes unnoticed at next year's Oscars.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. I can't even imagine what the world would have been like if this movie had come out in Oscar season.
And like so what movies would we not be talking about right
would
now?
Would it be this versus Oppenheimer? Like what would have happened? You know, obviously some movies would have gotten edged out, but it's just like, it's a movie, man. Come check it out. Don't wait to watch it at home. Come check it out at the theater. Even if it's not ours, you got to see it.
Yeah.
So Brian, I forgot to ask a question as a little bit of a transition. There are three things, potentially more than three things, that are happening here at Art House in the Babcock. And I forgot to ask you, what are the three things people need to know about stuff? I was so excited to jump into
Dune. I know, you really want to, and I did too. So the first big thing we need to know is that this weekend at the Babcock, we will be showing Oppenheimer on Friday and Saturday, which is another one. Come see it on the big screen again. If you haven't already, it is a spectacle film as well. So well worth seeing. And I mean, my money at least is on it's going to take home some big prizes this weekend. So see it before the Oscars.
You got to see it before the Oscars. Yep. It'll make sense to you. It's my favorite movie of last year still. So I hope it wins.
And then other films that we'll have, I've been showing the trailer for a while, but at Art House, I will be showing Wim Wenders' Perfect Days, which is up for international feature. Really beautiful film. Most people that I've heard that have seen it have really loved it. So I'm excited to bring that this weekend. And then the last one, I'm going to leave a pause because I might have to cut this out. It is unconfirmed at this point, but if you are hearing it right now, that means that we will be getting an oddity of a film, but something really special that I really hope you come check out. It's called Hundreds of Beavers, and it is a scrappy indie movie that I was able to preview a couple weeks ago, and it is kind of mind-blowing of how it's this low-budget film that is like a live-action silent film slash Looney Tune cartoon, but it is incredible how they pull it together. And I mean, once you get past the campiness of it, and it is shot like a silent film in the sense, well, I guess not a silent film, more like an Acme cartoon, I guess you'd say, in the sense of the protagonist. There's no dialogue in the film. It's all a lot of but it's so captivating, and I really was excited to share it with you. Again, it is unconfirmed whether we'll have it this weekend, but I do plan to bring it in. I know it is out there, but I am telling you on the podcast right now that it is well worth seeing on the big screen because it is just kind of out there.
So it would happen at Art House or
at Art House? Yeah.
Okay. And would be like a week run or just
a week?
One
yeah.
Off? Okay. Cool. I'm excited to check it out now. Yeah, you sold me, Brian.
It's a hard sell. I understand because of kind of how silly it looks, but once you get 15 minutes in, that silliness quickly turns into you can't look away from it. So,
is it hand animated or computer?
It's live action, but it's all green screen effects and stuff like that. So it feels surreal in that sense. But yeah, I guess it almost feels like I said, a Looney Tunes plus silent film plus almost, to a not offensive degree, like a Tim and Eric sketch as well. Like it's kind of a wild one, but I do believe that it is one of the more fascinating films that we have seen in the last couple months or so.
I'm in. I love it. Cool.
Cool.
Okay. Now that we got through that.
Yes.
You brought it up already, but the Oscars are happening this weekend. We're going to debrief the Oscars next week,
yep.
Talk about, you know, how we did our picks, all of that kind of stuff. We're not going to go through every category and pick, but I do want to hit some of the bigger ones. And Brian, get your gut on who you think is going to win. What's fascinating for me, and I know that the Oscars culturally aren't at the, you know, zenith that they were at one point, but at the end of the day, like this still, it's interesting to be a part of this season because there's so many awards for this, like January, even December now, December through now February is just jam-packed with so many awards that it feels like these awards kind of give us a roadmap for what to expect on the Oscars. So I'm curious what your pick is going to be when it comes to these, and I'll give my pick as well. So we're going to start off with Best Actor. The nominees are Paul Giamatti, Bradley Cooper, Coleman Domingo, Cillian Murphy, and Jeffrey Wright. Who do you think's walking away with that one?
I think it's Cillian Murphy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Best Picture, Holdovers, American Fiction, Zone of Interest, Barbie, Oppenheimer.
Oh, you're only going to list half of them for Best Picture?
Oh, there's another column. I missed a column. Poor Things, Past Lives, Anatomy of a Fall, Maestro, and Killers of the Flower Moon. My apologies to Martin Scorsese, because I know he's a regular listener. So I apologize I didn't bring your movie into that.
You know, I talked about this with Seth, who unfortunately was unable to be here today because he was definitely really excited to talk about
Oscar
stuff.
He was into this,
stuff.
Yeah, but he's not feeling good today.
But having not seen it, he was less on Oppenheimer. He was feeling more American Fiction just based on what he had seen, but he hasn't seen Oppenheimer yet.
Yeah.
And I am very much into the Oppenheimer that it is walking away with Best Picture. And he asked me, he said, well, why do you think it is? Do you think it's a makeup for all the films he didn't get it for? And the way I described it to him was I said, I think that it is less of a makeup, but more of a, they have been waiting for him to make something that is very Oscar friendly, and Oppenheimer feels like the probably of his filmography, like the most Oscar friendly biography film about a bomb, about a well-known person done technically really well. Like it just feels like this is the moment that they can feel good about giving him that award.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. I think it's Oppenheimer. I think it's Oppenheimer for, I mean, everything you just said, but The Academy Awards are the highest prize for celebrating the movies. It's mm-hmm. Hollywood celebrating Hollywood. And when it comes to the things that Hollywood wants to celebrate, it doesn't get any more like pinpointed middle of the target than Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
It's kind of got this acting masterclass as far as like it's celebrating the actor.
Yeah.
It's got some special effects that are amazing. It culturally was a thing. It did bonkers at the box office. Yep. Like these are the kinds of movies they would love every year to have three or four of these kinds of movies in the Oscars.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, yeah. And to add on to the Christopher Nolan effect as well, that I would say. So I'm in. I think it's going to be a shock to me.
If
it doesn't win. Okay. Best actress. I'm going to try to get all of them this time.
Okay.
Emma Stone, Lily Gladstone, Annette Bening, Carey Mulligan, and Sandra Hüller.
This is probably the toughest race of the night.
Yep.
And really, for me, it comes down to Emma Stone or Lily Gladstone.
Yep.
And, like, I could flip a coin at this point.
You got to pick one. You got to pick one.
But my gut says Lily Gladstone.
Yeah, my gut too. Yeah. I hope. I mean, I think that'd just be awesome. Emma Stone's incredible, obviously. But
I mean, of all the other, like, awards and, you know, even other critics talking about it, this is really the hottest race of the night.
Yep, I agree. And the biggest unknown, like you talk about that roadmap. Like there's been moments where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, this is Lily's.
This is also the sort of situation where, you know, if Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone are the front runners here, and the voters get tied on that, suddenly Sandra Hüller ends up winning because they cancel each other out.
That's a good point. Okay, animated feature: Nimona, Robot Dreams, The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
This is probably the next most heated race between Boy and Heron and Across the Spider-Verse. I'm feeling Across the Spider-Verse on this one. Yep. As much as I love Boy and the Heron, I do think that if Boy and Heron wins, it's more. This one is more of the legacy of Hayao Miyazaki's filmography that they're awarding him, knowing that this very well may be his last film.
Agreed. And you add on to the fact that the first Spider-Verse movie won,
and there's another one to come. They'll have time to give Spider-Verse an award.
Okay, and then Best Director, Justine Triet. Am I saying that right?
Triet.
Martin Scorsese, Yorgos Lanthimos, Christopher Nolan, Jonathan Glazer. And the winner is?
I think this is Nolan as well. I think Nolan is taking this. Yeah. I think Oppenheimer is the most awarded film on Sunday in most of its categories, if not all.
Completely agree. So I feel like I'm missing a couple categories. We got director or supporting?
I mean, there's the supporting actor and actresses.
It's not showing up on my list. Sorry.
Where did you go?
We are learning to Google together, everybody. actor in a supporting role. Here we go. Actor in a supporting role. We got Sterling K. Brown, Robert De Niro, Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Gosling, and Mark Ruffalo.
I think my personal pick, my heart goes to Mark Ruffalo. I think Robert Downey Jr. is winning, though.
I would agree with that as well, 100%. And we'll do the last one, actress in a supporting role. We've got Emily Blunt, Daniel Brooks, American Ferrera, Jodie Foster, and Divine Joy Randolph.
This is probably the easiest pick of the night that, you know, of all the leading, you know, all the awards leading up to this, Divine Joy Randolph has just been sweeping.
Yep.
That, you know, this is pretty easy that she's walking home with that.
Yep. And it feels like, I mean, in my short time on planet Earth, which is getting one more trip around the sun this month, but in my short time, it seems like there's this regular kind of moment that a certain actor or actress will have, and this feels like her moment.
Yep.
And it feel, and I'm not trying to point towards the future, but we've seen it happen before where they just go, they go hard, they get awarded, and then who knows what the future holds kind of thing. We've seen that happen compared to like an Emily Blunt or a Jodie Foster. Like these actresses have been in the sphere a lot over the years, but like this is her moment and she's just going to capture it and get all, squeeze all the juice out of it you can. I love
Absolutely.
It. Brian, we'll see how right you were. we were, because I think we were pretty much on the same page on that front. I think the only one I would like disagree on is I think Boy and the Heron over Spider-Verse.
Okay.
And simply because of what I said, that I think people are going to recognize, as you pointed out, his last film and the fact that Spider-Verse won earlier, that I think there's going to be this thing in the Academy that's like, well, let's give it to that guy.
Yep.
So, which is great. It's good. An art house film.
I'm happy if any of those films win.
If Brian is happy if any movies
if
win.
If any movie wins an award, I'm happy.
That's why you love the Oscars. So all that to say, this is your last chance, everybody. If you haven't gotten your tickets for the Oscars at the Babcock, you need to be an art house member. So sign up for that membership. Or if you already are a member, we would love to VIP level members. You get in for free.
Yep.
So you've gotten emails if you are a VIP level member. And make sure to go to that link to RSVP so that we've got everything ready to go. Talking about the menu today with our chef. It's going to be incredible. Yep. Very excited about that. Always
also
a fun
at
time.
That same link that you get emailed to you, that is also where the there's a link to the Oscar ballot so that you can fill out your picks.
Mm-hmm.
You can just copy the ones we just talked about.
Yeah, and then you
and then you're halfway there.
Yeah, and when it doesn't go well for you, you can be mad
at Brian. But that link is where that ballot is, and that is the way to vote. And there's some cool prizes if you win.
Got
that,
some good prizes. So as every year at the Oscars, we got some fun prizes. This year we're doing some unique prizes we've never done before. It could bite us in the butt. We'll see how it goes. If you come, you'll know what I mean when you see the prizes. So I hope everybody's doing well. Hope to see you at the Oscars. If not, don't forget to check out Dune because it's awesome.
Dune,
so,
it's the must-see TV movie event.
As always, Brian, excellent podcast in between you and me. We're nailing it. So, all right, everybody. Have a good week. Bye.